How about 3:30?
3:30.
All right.
It is 3:30 right, p.m. Thank you, Les.
I will. This is Les Clark. I will call the Rentschler. I will call a Rentschler Murrieta Community Services District meeting for board meeting for March 18th to order. Determination of a quorum. Amelia?
President Clark?
Yes, here.
Director Janko?
Here.
Hi, Director Janko. Director Butler?
Hey. Here.
Jim? Maybe.
Hello, Director Maybe. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, sir. And Director Merchant?
Here.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Okay, we have a roll call, completed item. Consider item number two, consider adoption of the agenda. And, okay, all right, and before we second, I would... postponement of item number A12, security annual report. That's a slideshow, and all right. Okay, with that motion and suggested amendment to the adoption of the agenda. Do we have a second? Any discussion? Okay, do we have a second?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, consider adoption of the agenda. That's a voice vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Les Clark.
Aye.
Okay, that's three, so at least three. So moving on to item number three, adjourn to closed session. And what we will need to do is hang up and then redial in with the different code.
I will talk to you shortly.
Okay.
Okay, close to closed session. Thank you.
Hello, this is Lori Louisa from Coastlands.
Hi, Lori.
Okay.
Hello, everybody.
We are recording.
Okay. Okay, we're back into general session. Rentschler Murrieta Community Services District Board meeting for March 18th. Open session is report back. Item number four, open session report action from the closed session. And before we do that, I'd like to make a comment that at the start of this meeting that for all the participants, just please know that the meeting is being conducted fully in teleconference and allowed by governor's executive order N-25-20. And so what you hear is a lot of background information or noise. And so if you can do two things. One, use your mute button, your mute code, which is *#6 as often as possible when you're not speaking. And then also, when you do come back on to speak, if you will identify yourself so that we get the recording properly and identify the people that are actually speaking. Okay, moving on then to open session, report action, item number four, report action from closed session. There are 2 points. One, the board met public employee performance evaluation of the general manager. We have reached a consensus. And we'll be submitting a summary form for evaluation and discussion of compensation issues in the next day or two. And then item number two, we had an item discussion of background information on anticipated litigation. and which also appears later on in as item A16. And so we'll address that at the time that that item comes up before in the agenda. Any questions, comments on the report back?
No.
Okay, moving on then to the consent calendar. Are there any issues relating to the consent calendar? I would make a motion to accept the consent calendar.
Second.
Any comments?
I do have an item on the security meeting. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not at the committee thing. I'm sorry, we're fine.
This is the consent calendar, yes.
Yep.
Okay, I think I heard a second. Who made the second for the record? Randy, okay. This is a roll call vote. Amelia?
President Clark?
Yes.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Mabee?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on then to the next item, item number 6, staff report. General manager's report. Mark?
Sorry about that. I'm on mute, Mark. My phone. Can you hear me now?
There we go. Yeah.
All right. So for the sake of brevity, you know, we traditionally will go line item, but I'll just hit a few highlights. Probably the, you know, two of the most significant highlights were the approval of the final municipal services review by LAFCO early this month. And so we had a draft presentation a month prior, and then we presented again. Well, didn't necessarily present, but there were questions from the draft document presentation. We answered those questions and then appeared early this month for the final acceptance of the MSR, Municipal Services Review, by LAFCO. So that's complete. And again, this is just a reiteration of what our current exercised and latent powers are as a district, specific to the functions that we perform. So that's it on that. I don't know if there's any questions related to that.
Mark, this is Les Clark. The question I have is that just a confirmation that we have requested a letter back from them, or is that just that the Municipal Services Review, is that a published document?
Yeah, it's a it was published online under their agendas. It's a standard just receive and file, basically, if there's no objection by the LAFCO board.
Okay, so once that's final, then you can bring that back to the board and introduce it in the public record?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Do that next month. Yeah. Okay, another item is there had been the Cal Waste visit. We had a field trip to Cal Waste. You see that in the general manager's update. That was a very informative visit, very interesting. They've invested $20 million into new processing equipment. And if you like Rube Goldberg machines, it would fascinate you. So conveyors going everywhere, a lot of staff and equipment. So we also had a discussion as part of that is that since, and this is something they've already highlighted to the board in past, you know, in recent years, as some of the challenges they're having as far as the ability to send cost-effective waste stream to China for processing and the costs associated with that, that some of the industries that were, once China started to clamp down on that, then you would expect that it might be more cost-effective to process certain types of materials like chipboard within California. Unfortunately, as China assumed most of that role, a lot of those facilities shut down. So those facilities no longer exist in California. So they're having some difficulty processing some of the materials, and just some of the other cost bases are going up And so they have asked us to possibly review our contract, the existing contract. I think it goes to 2023, and that's really up for the board to decide. And we would have to come back with some negotiating points if we chose to do that. But we do not yet have a letter. We've asked them for a letter to put in writing what they're, you know, if they are requesting, so that we know exactly what their request is. Lastly, there's been a standing request for a confirmation from the county regarding the conditions of approval for Marietta Gardens to have the district perform as perpetual
muted
of a private roadways agreement, and the district has declined to perform that role. There was a verbal from county staff on January 31st in the meeting that I, with three planners that I attended, where they confirmed verbally that they understood why we were unable to perform that role, and that they have asked the parties to, you know, seek private services for that function. And so a letter has been sent to the planning director of Sacramento County, and with the request to provide a response in writing confirming that understanding. So I'm gonna leave it at that, unless there's other topics where there's questions.
Okay, are there any other questions relating to Mark's abbreviated report back verbal? Remember, you can take a look at the packet online and any additional comments or questions from the board members? Okay, and if there are any public in attendance, public members in attendance, just remember that you can comment on any particular item as we bring it forward. But there, for any general off-agenda item discussions, that will wait until item A11. Okay, moving on then, again, and oh, by the way, the letter that was sent to Sacramento County Planning is in the packet as well. Okay, Tom, moving on to item 6B, Administration Finance Report.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you. Are we getting reverb on this?
She's on mute.
Unmuted.
Okay, I'm here in the office. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. To begin with, I got to say we continue to work with the Poon Group and with our external auditor as we work through a very complicated audit from the 18-19 fiscal year. We seem to be making a lot of good progress. My expectation is we will have this brought forward at the June board meeting. Much later than we planned, but also with a significant amount of turnover over the year, it lends itself to complicate the audit process on the general balance sheet work. The residential water consumption was up in February over last year, because last year it was raining and this year it was not, so people are starting to water their yards. So you see consumption is up as well as revenue is up. Moving through that, we go to lockoffs. We're very happy to say, once again, for the month of February, we had zero lockoffs, and it's the same story as last month. It's because staff is working really hard with outreach to our residents, our customers, to... We're mostly reminding them that if they don't come and pay their bill right now, they're going to get their water shut off. And they're like, oh, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. We currently have 12 properties that remain locked off. Yeah, they're usually for sale or other reasons, and people aren't working to get their water turned on anytime soon for those. The developers paid. Yes, go ahead.
Tom?
Yes.
Tom, this is Les Clark. Let me interrupt you. And Mark... With the recent decisions by state of California relating to lockoffs, we're in very good shape because we don't have any. But as I understand, maybe later on you'll provide us with some information about some prohibitions on lockoffs.
That is correct.
Correct. Okay. And if I could add to that, there was a discussion. We had the Regional Water Authority legislative update this morning, a conference call, and there's discussions on how other districts are handling lockoffs. So it's good that we're staying in communication and understanding, not just adhering to the law, but understanding maybe different ways that other districts have approached that issue, and helping us maybe find a good path forward relating to the lockout. But for the most part, we've been discussing it in-house. We do have the issue of the fee. The fee that we are allowed to charge in the event there is a lock-off. We do hear that there is a tendency or a trend, I guess, among those in the leadership of the state to prefer not to have any lock-offs at all. So that's where things are trending as far as legislation and such. So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. And then you'll see we received almost $250,000 in connection fees from developers as they finished the build out of the Murrieta Gardens 2 project. I think there's 16 or 20 properties that have yet to get the hookup fees and pay the development fees. So that's that development. We expect it to be all be done, at least with the fee collection, by the end of June. And then moving on to the aging report, we continue to have a low balance of overdue fees. The ones we are owed are focused on a couple development properties, which has kind of been the trend over the past 2 years. And then the reserve accounts, as we go through the audit, we're making slight adjustments to the reserve accounts, but they continue to remain steady. I think you'll find that our reserve accounts with LAIF and PARS are going down right now when we're getting our reports, just because of the whole economy. And then we go through the reserve balances and the interfund borrowing balances. And then going on to revenues, they're up a little bit across the board, except in sewer. And again, that was a little bit budgeted incorrectly because I didn't account for when we lock off properties that they don't pay their sewer charge. And then the expenses for the budget are good. We're currently $353,000 below budget. We do have a couple of significant upcoming bills that will probably bring that closer to a center point, but we still feel that we will be under budget at the end of the year on our expenditures. And then you'll see the section we've added to identify the reserve fund purchases authorized by the general manager. You will find that in the month of March we've had an authorized purchase, so we should see a report on that and the format on how you like that at the next finance or next board meeting. And then moving down to finance committee update, as Mark said, we discussed the reconnect fee. Basically, the law changed that beginning in March, I believe, if somebody is at or below 200% of the poverty level and we lock off their water, we can't charge them any more than $50. Our current fee is $75, and we're handling that on a case-by-case basis because of the fact that we're doing the outreach, and we've yet to determine if how we're going to make the determination that somebody is 200% or less of the poverty level. But when we hit that bridge, hopefully we'll have figured that out. Quite a bit of talk about the security rate fees, the security fee rates, and the discussion is to budget for a fee study next year, much like we've done the rate study for the recycled water, and we're doing a cost allocation plan workup this year. Next fiscal year might be the time that we dust off the 1998 determination of how the security fees are being paid. So we're going to put that in the budget and talk about it next week. And then the budget itself, we have a final budget meeting March 26th at 3 p.m., right, Amelia?
That is right, and we will probably do it
like this.
But I will have updates on the website as soon as I have a final decision on that.
Yeah, and with the suddenness of having to shut the office down, we're going to attempt to be able to put a PowerPoint online and allow people to view it. I just need to work a little bit with our service provider and kind of check in with some other folks I know in the industry to see what's the best way to host a meeting that multiple people can view. I know it's not rocket science. We just have to make a decision on how we want to do that. And then the utility billing update, the committee asked us to start adding the pipeline to the emails that people get when they get their bill sent EFT, and we will do that. And so the next time, if you get your bill from the e-bill program, you'll see a pipeline attached to it. So that is that. And then going through the budget to actuals, you see that we're doing quite well. As far as our revenues, they're higher than expected, in large part because of all the meter fees that we've been collecting, because Murrieta Gardens, too, is selling far faster than we anticipated. If you go back and look at the budget, we anticipated 12 of those homes being sold this fiscal year, and it looks like we're going to sell all 78. I guess maybe the economy might change that a little bit right now. Our employee services were under budget quite a bit because we've had some vacancies and some turnover. But we're very happy to say we are almost at full staff right now. Our power took a little bit of a jump last month because we started really pumping water from the river up to the reservoirs. And you'll see, again, the maintenance is quite high for the equipment this year. We're trying to address that next fiscal year. And then the lab tests are also high. And with that, I will submit the finance report. Any questions?
Okay, any questions from the board? All right, then. If not, moving on to... was that a question? Okay, thank you. Moving on then to item 6C, security report. Mr. Werblin?
I'm here.
Muted.
Buddy.
We're muted.
Operational update for the month of February. A little bit later, we'll discuss the amendments that were proposed for the security code. But as far as operational updates.
And I tested it with
We did complete first aid CPR refresher training on March 10th and 11th. All of field operations, a patrol, as well as some admin staff and some gate officers attended and completed the course over 2 days. The customer service training date was changed. I believe the 29th is the new date. We just had to move it 1 day over due to instructor availability, but that is still on for April. Incidents of note. On February 5th, we had a vehicle accident on Jackson Road at Murrieta Parkway. The responsible driver in that accident walked away prior to patrol and CHP arriving. Sergeant Tompkins, who happened to be on his way to work, saw the driver down Jackson near the county bridge, stopped and talked to her. She admitted that she had been involved in an accident and was trying to get to Jackson. So he talked her into returning to the scene, which she did. As CHP interviewed her, they determined that she was under the influence, and subsequently she was arrested for DUI. In this case, it was a felony because the people that she rear-ended, all three of them, ended up suffering injuries and going to the hospital. Further investigation realized that she had hit a fence on Scott Road where she destroyed about 200 feet of fence, so she was additionally charged with that. On the 16th, Officer Hernandez on patrol saw a man down on Contova Lane on the side of the road, turned out to be an elderly gentleman walking his dog who fell and struck his head. Officer Hernandez rendered aid until the fire department got there. Additionally, Officer McCarver took the man's dog home to the man's house and called a family member to let them know what had happened, provided good service there to the public. We had an unknown disturbance call, loud noises. When the officers arrived, they found out it was a domestic. They called for the sheriff's department to respond. In this situation, there was threats of violence, and the officers did not feel safe leaving the female adult and her daughter alone, and the females didn't feel safe. The male wouldn't leave, so they just stood by until the sheriff's department got there and investigated a domestic violence situation. Is there a question?
No, I was just going to say that sounds right, and I don't know how many people are, again, from the public on the conference call. We do have your reports in writing in front of us, the board members do. So if you can hit the highlights, that would be great. Jeff?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can skip the operational updates unless there's any questions. Okay, moving on to joint security meeting. That has been set for March 25th, but in light of recent events, that may be tentative. At best, it would probably be a phone call like this one. If not, it'll be postponed or rescheduled. Any questions on the report before we move on to the statistics? Okay, moving on.
Okay.
The monthly stats for February have been... Yes?
No, go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Monthly statistics for February have been submitted, and I do want to make one comment on the, it's usually the last page of my report, the violation section. If you notice at the top, the title was briefly changed. It used to read RMA rule violation. It now reads most common RMA rule violation. And the reason for that is we just wanted to make clear that although this list is not all inclusive of what CSD enforces for RMA, but it is the most common sections that CSD does enforce for RMA.
Okay, and just Jeff, just this Les Clark, just a quick question. This is on our packet every board meeting, and we think that's great. Will there be any coordination with RMA? In the past, we've provided it as these are the things that are requested from RMA, and what you just indicated was these are the things that we, the most significant ones that we enforce. So just thinking, you know, from the standpoint of future coordination, we just keep this list active, and if there are any, coordinate with RMA on any specific special focus items during a particular period. So that's just a comment.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions.
Tim, right?
Yes, I'm sorry. This is Director Mabee. I saw in the committee notes that I know in February I mentioned that because we have so many different spreadsheets within the district, and we have spreadsheets from RMA physically combining those, and I saw in the minutes that Director Clark said it, and I can't scroll back, but I know, Les, that you had some concerns that we didn't need to combine the spreadsheets.
Okay, yes, and again, Les Clark, in response, I think the reason, Tim, was that the reporting periods seem to be different, and until we can coordinate those reporting periods, the numbers will always be inconsistent between RMA and CSD. So, you know, the question is, do we need to, is it desirable to have a combined list, or, you know, and if so, we need to coordinate the reporting periods and adjust the reporting periods. And if not, so it was just a comment on my part, an observation that because of it would require adjustment of the reporting periods by either entity, that it wasn't necessarily needed. We could show them as being separate.
And I understand. Yes, and I understand and respect everything you just said. The thought process I had, how we're going to move forward as a district with our relationship to RMA, I would think that this would be one of those items that as we move forward, some changes are going to be made in how we do business, how they do business. I would think that just consolidating the information, the spreadsheets, to where, and I'm wide open, whether it's the district or RMA that puts it together, we're just duplicating staff work on two different agencies. But that's fine.
So we can get into details on expectations later. The other question I had in the notes regarding the civil code and what the expectation was for security officers, and specifically the protection of life and property. So I don't know where we're at on that. You didn't update us here with that, Chief. The other thought process is our policy doesn't state that, so we're in conflict. And I know that the general manager is working on updating policies and getting that system in place. Again, we have a huge disparity on what the mission is, what the expectations are. So I just, like I said, there's no update here, but those are things that have to be considered. So that's all I have.
And that's my fault. I was going to go back to it, and in keeping with being brief, I forgot the first paragraph under operational update. There was some discussion at the committee meeting, and at the end of that, it was determined to bring the item back to the next security committee meeting for discussion and clarification.
And
this is Tim.
Okay, and Les Clark, yeah, I agree with that. That's what the determination was. So it's under further review, and refinement. Again, check back with legal and make some minor changes. But it is associated with a policy change, actually our code change, Section 21. So that'll come back to the next Security Committee meeting.
So this is Mark Martin. Related to this item is the fact that we have consulted with legal on this, and so we will be reporting the results of that at the Security Committee meeting.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Are there any other questions, comments on the security report? Okay, moving on then to item 6D, utilities report. Paul?
Hi there, board and public. This is Paul Stevenson, Director of Operations. So as presented in the packet, I'll just kind of hit a few highlights of what's in that packet. As Tom said, that the water demand went up in February because we had zero rain. That was very odd for February. So that was a little disconcerting. And there you can see, if you're looking at the packet, the residential gallons per capita per day went up higher than even in 2013, which is our baseline year for drought comparison. So we started dusting off our drought contingency plan and looking at that again. Luckily, it started raining. And with these recent rains and the forecast showing that there's rains in the extended forecast, we don't anticipate there being any issues or any need to move forward on any drought plans. But that's just a comment on that. And as well as the water source of supply, we're doing well. We're about 99% full to the spillways. As I mentioned at the last board meeting, on April 15th, we're allowed to put the stop logs in. That's a rule with the Department of Safety of Dams. At that point, we may begin pumping again and filling up an additional 2 feet within our reservoirs. There was a little bit of news about concerns with bait boxes on our dams, which store our water within our reservoirs. Per Department of Safety of Dams, we were initiating a rodent control program, and that's why they were there. I've done some communication and outreach with the help of Amelia Wilder, and got that on the website. I put some drought outlook information on there. Again, this was before we got these recent rains. And so at this point, we don't have any concerns. On the wastewater side of things, we're beginning. Is there a comment? Okay, moving on. Within our wastewater reservoirs, everything's looking fine there. Plenty of storage. And we'll have water available for reclaimed water production and delivery to the country club this summer. As mentioned as well in the packet, I met with the Rancho Murrieta Country Club and their senior staff and conveyed the different process for producing and distributing the recycled water as well as storing it, and that went very well. It was a good discussion, and we talked about upcoming water supplies for this year as well, because again in February it was very dry. And some work that occurred this last month was the repair of a dip in a sewer line on La Bronza and Murrieta South Parkway. There was a few issues with that, with some groundwater during excavation, as well as that the dub into the original manhole that was installed there in the south was done incorrectly. That had to be broken out and reset. But that was all tested and everything perfect there now. So that was a good project that we don't have to worry about that spot for a while. Development projects, everybody can see on the Murrieta Marketplace, the bill is continuing to go up. They requested a meter that was in, and we confirmed with Coastland Engineering that they had indeed put in everything they needed, which they had. They just have a few punch list items, I guess, on some other items around there. So we installed the meter over there for the Bel Air today. That was done. Murrieta Business Park over there at the end of Cantova Way, work's begun on that. You can see substantial work there. Yes,
Paul?
Go ahead.
Hi, it's me, Linda Butler. I was so engrossed in this. Did we miss Rancho Murrieta North? I had a question.
I did kind of skip over that. So go ahead. You have a question?
I just had a quick question, because it says, despite the developer's representative saying the project was active with the county, and we should continue with review, the district was told by the county, blah, blah. We aren't supposed to be reviewing that at this point anyways, are we?
No, as conveyed in the packet, that project's on hold until further notice. The county was doing review, and then when that review comes back and confirmed that the project is indeed moving forward, that we will then pick it up and get with Coastland for further review and comment.
But our review of that, we're done with that, right?
For now.
I'm just trying to...
Yep, everything's on hold with that for now.
Right, okay. All right, and it wasn't our time to review it anyways, is what I understand. Am I understanding this incorrectly?
No, you understand that correctly. Director Martin had had a meeting with Sacramento County Planning Commission, folks and staff, and got
the process for doing that.
It's through the county.
Yes.
And then that
okay.
Disseminated to us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I thought that was true. Okay. Great.
Okay, I apologize for skipping over that. I'm just trying to keep things brief.
No.
Okay, Paul. Excuse me, Paul. This is Les Clark. I just want to go back up a little bit on your report and relating to the drainage stormwater and your comments. Wanted to tie that into a previous discussion of the high water usage in February because of lack of rain. And then recognition in this sentence that despite no rain having been received, the drainage system was flowing due to runoff from communities' irrigation beginning again in this warm, dry February. Just a note, I understand that there may be some direction in the future for the district to consider reaching out to the community for the idea of increased installation, private installation of smart water irrigation valves. And I'll just leave it at that. I don't know that we need to go any farther, but I think it's a good idea that we pursue that idea of reaching out to the community for, again, you know, cooperative to reduce over-irrigation.
That's an excellent idea. We'll work to have something put on our website and maybe discuss that for budgeting for the upcoming year.
Yeah, as I understand, as I understand it, general manager's, it's already been on the general manager's radar screen, and he has some thoughts and ideas, so discussion with him, follow-up would be great. Thanks, Paul.
Absolutely. Thank you. And they're moving on with projects. So the district has its own set of projects we're moving forward on. For the water treatment plant effluent pump replacements, I had touched base with a contractor, and those are there's no scheduled date for delivery as of right yet. Sounds like shipping, there's issues with shipping all over the state, as well as manufacturing, so I'm still waiting to hear back for a firm date for when those will be in. For the mainland south pump, which isn't noted here in the packet, but those are on order, and those are being shipped as of today, so hopefully we'll be receiving those in the next 3 weeks. Going back to the packet in the chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite conversion at the wastewater plant, as shown in the packet, staff was doing a lot of work cleaning up the chlorine bleach tank site at the wastewater plant and getting a wall poured and formed. We have that wall formed, and we're going to pour that tomorrow. So we've got a lot of work going on over there, as well as we've cleaned out our old chemical feed room for installation of the chemical feed skids, which also need to get wired in as well. Big note here in the packet is we had went out to bid for the West Staff electrical panel replacement, and so I'll be taking the information that comes back from that to our improvements committee next month. And we should be installing the buoys around the Chesapeake Bro aeration site.
Excuse me, Paul. This is, yep, Les Clark. Just going back to the West dissolved air flotation electrical panel replacement, as I understand that, that was not in our current capital replacement program planned list, and so it's just a note that we may have to consider such items in the future and or provide a contingency item for things that in our CRP, future CRP, for items that just aren't on quite on the radar screen yet. So it's just a comment.
Yes, yep. And that's one of the things we're endeavoring to do is put together a comprehensive capital replacement plan. And then going back to the packet, staff is still working towards putting the buoys out around the Chesbro aeration site. We still have issues with fishermen and kids jumping the fencing that was recently installed there to try to fish over where the aerators are set. We want to thank security for their assistance in keeping people out of there. And then that's about it for now, other than we've received, for the dam inundation mapping and emergency action plans, I do have an update for that. We received a letter from the Division of Safety of Dams for the Michigan Bar Dam, number one, noting that the dam doesn't have any issues, and so that's a good thing there. But I may be taking also additional costs back to the improvement committee from the consultant on that. Apparently there's new rules and issues with putting the emergency action plans together, and it's requiring a lot more back and forth communication with the OEF. So I will be bringing that back to the improvements committee, or not back to it, to the improvements committee, I should say, next month. And with that, are there any questions or comments?
You're good.
Okay, hearing none then. This is Les Clark. Again, we'll move on to item A7, conference and education. Amelia.
Unmuted.
We will not be attending the Understanding the Brown Act tomorrow because the event has been canceled, and the next event will be Mark Martin attending the General Manager Leadership Summit in Olympic Valley, which is basically Tahoe, California. We've also added the Special District Leadership Academy, which sounds like a lot of fun for our board members, September 27th to 30th, and that's in Lake Tahoe as well.
Okay. Are there any board questions, comments on the conference education opportunities listing? Hearing none, then we will move on to item A8, employee announcements, promotions, commendations, and kudos.
Okay, this is Tom, and I have two really good employee announcements to make. We have hired on a part-time basis an intern from Folsom Lake College, Graham Self, and Graham has been working with us for a couple weeks now. He's really productive. He's really heads down, like to work, and he's very smart. Unfortunately, with the lockdown of the office, he's probably not going to be working for us for a while until we can bring him back again to do some really useful work for us. And also, I would really, really happy to say that we have promoted Tanya Perez from accounting assistant to accounting supervisor. It was a long drawn out recruitment, and Tanya just shone through the whole process. She picked up the ball right when the vacancy occurred, and both her and Mamie have been working really, really hard, and it paid off for Tanya because she is far and away the best qualified person. So we're very happy for Tanya, and a long time she'll be here. She'll be with us here for a long time, we hope. And that's it. Mark, do you have anything to add?
Hi. This is Jeff. I do when you're done.
Go ahead, Jeff.
As most of you know, we had the series of burglaries at the storage units on Cantillon at the airport. And just a comment, the recent one at the airport, airport management
muted
commended the work of our radar patrol officer that night and his response and locating the vehicle and suspects, able to get descriptions, and there's a tentative ID on at least one of them. That case is probably moving forward to a conclusion, but they were very appreciative of the officer's work in helping on that case that night. And that was Connor Tire was the officer's name.
Okay, great. Mark, you were asked, are there any other additions?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My phone actually dropped completely, so I was trying to get back in. Additions, what are we talking, where are we right now?
Employee you're announcements, promotions,
yeah.
Commendations, and kudos.
It sounds like I know that, I just want to thank all staff. We've been working really hard with this COVID-19 issue. In fact, it's absorbed a lot of our time in the last week or so. So I just want to thank all of our staff for being flexible and a lot of them with great ideas about how to proceed. So they've done a great job.
Okay, again, and this is Les Clark. I'd like to echo that comment. Greatly appreciated. Any other board member comments?
This is Director Mabee. It just dawned on me. Mark, we just have to figure out, or Tom, we just have to figure out a process for signing checks on Friday, if the office is still closed, type of thing. So we got
unmuted.
That just hit me.
Well, I'll be here. And then I was going to offline see if anybody else wanted to come over here and be the co-signer.
Okay. Then I'll make contact with you. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Okay, then I believe we're ready to move on to item A9, April meeting schedule. Are there any questions relating to the April meeting schedule?
No. As things progress, I will be posting online whether the meetings will be here in person or whether they will be via conference call. This seems to be working out pretty well. So keep posted online.
Okay, the only comment I would have is that while, there may be some need for on-screen sharing as well, in some of these meetings, so might want to think about that in the near future, a temporary opportunity to be able to have some online or on screen sharing or on file sharing. That's it. That's my only comment. Les Clark, sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other comments about the April?
You have a call on hold. To return to the call, press pound. To
correspondence. Mark?
Muted.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. My phone's been cutting in and out. We did receive a letter from Murrieta Village, and we had alluded to this in the security committee meeting, and attached under this item is the letter from Murrieta Village. They're basically interested in a security camera being placed near the entrance to the Murrieta Village, and then they also had requested possible access to the video review as part of that request. And so this is just putting into the record Murrieta Village's, the association's leadership's statement of where they stand on a security camera to the community there.
Okay. And do we have any members of the community in attendance that would like to make a comment on that particular issue?
Yes, Linda.
Okay. Well, I was on the board. On the board. Okay. Go ahead.
I have the copy of the letter that the homeowner, Murrieta Village Homeowners Association sent to us. I don't have anything that we sent to them. Have we talked to them about this? What's happening with this?
We've been having discussions with Murrieta Village, and it's been security meetings. Committee meeting, we shared, you know, possible locations.
So there has been a decision that we are going to help them with this? Hello?
Linda, this is Jeff. Mark may be having problems with his phone.
Right.
We've had discussions with the village going back to probably last summer's when they started, and this is part of expansion of our network in regards to developer impact fees. So it would be our camera, but the location of the installation will be near the entrance to the Murrieta Village.
Okay.
Okay, and then just this is Les Clark, just a comment that, yeah, this has all been under consideration, and there was a realization that we needed an official request before we bring it back to the board for approval. So it's all in the planning stage right now. We've now received the official request. It'll go to the security committee for recognition and an action recommended to go to the board if that's appropriate.
Okay.
So it's subject of future meetings.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other comments on that? Moving on then to item A11, which is public comments.
Hello?
Yes, comments. Hold on just a second. Comments from the public on items not...
Hello?
Hold on just a second. Comments from the public on members on items that are not on the agenda. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, identify yourself, please.
This is Marian Zarka with the Village. I just wanted to comment and thank you for your considerations, and that is the one reason that we did send the letter was per your request. And we thank you for your consideration, and just let us know what we need to do and work with you.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, are there any other members of the community who want to make comments on items that are not on the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to item A12, which has been postponed because it is an item that is a PowerPoint presentation that needs to be projected, and we can present that at the next meeting where we have an ability to present that item. So, no problems. That was postponed at the beginning of our public meeting back on at 3:30.
Unmuted.
Okay, moving on then to review item. Go ahead. Is there a comment?
No.
Okay, moving on then to item A13, review of the FY 2020-2021 draft budget.
Yes, like with everything else, a lot of this work has been set aside as we prepare for the recent public health requirements. We anticipate to have the budget in a form to be released prior to the meeting on Monday, per the Brown Act requirement, 72 hours before the meeting. And that's what we have right now.
Okay. Very good. Any other comments on that? If not, then we'll move forward on to item A14, resolution. Consider adoption of resolution R2020-01, resolution calling for general district election and consolidation with statewide election to be held on November 3rd, 2020. Mark?
Okay, this is just a standard action item for each elect
muted
required to conduct. And so it's a resolution that we forward to the county stating that we plan to.
I think you lost connection there again, Mark. Go ahead.
Are you there?
Go ahead.
How much of it did you hear?
We just the very brief introduction about it being a standard resolution we adopt during election years to coordinate with. So that's about it.
Correct. We have two directors up for election this year, and so again, this is just a standard routine item, and we provide this signed resolution to the county to let them make them aware that we plan to hold an election for directors this year. As we discussed in prior meetings, our costs for elections have doubled. In the past, it had been around $5,000. Now it's around $10,000 every time we conduct an election. And that's it.
Okay. Are there any director comments, questions on that item?
No.
Hearing none. Oh. Was that a yes or a no?
No, that was no.
Okay, then hearing none, I will make a motion to adopt resolution R
unmuted
01, a resolution calling the general district election and consolidation with the statewide election to be held on November 3rd, 2020 for the purpose of electing two candidates whose terms expire in 2020. Do I hear a second?
Second.
And that was?
Randy.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote.
President Clark?
Yes.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yeah.
Director Mabee?
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And
muted.
Then we'll move on to item A15, top five board goals, final version.
Mark?
All right. At the last board meeting, we had a set of final goals, but it also included one through however many we had, around 20 different goals. But we did have a top five, a reordering of the goals, and that was provided at the last board meeting. And then the direction at the last board meeting was to consolidate the list to five goals, top five goals, to incorporate a few comments from one, or to provide, have the board members provide feedback to me as to any adjustments to be made within those top five goals, and to consolidate some comments from various goal, from one goal to another in some areas, such as between the effectively managed district finances and then also the top goal, which is comprehensive infrastructure management, including reserve study. And what you see is the product of that. I only received comments from one director, that was President Clark. And so those comments are added and incorporated. And that's it.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Are there any other director comments thoughts, ideas relating to the goals?
The only thought process, thank you. The only thought process that jumps out at me, Les, is we want to make sure that the board is consistent. If we're asking expectations for the general manager for the next evaluation period, those items to be worked on are reflected in here. So we might have to tweak it a little bit off of what we're going to share with the general manager, just so there's no confusion.
Okay, comment noted. Are there any follow-up comments on that item?
I agree with that, by the way.
John, that was John.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so this is Les Clark. Go ahead, Linda. I think that was you.
This is Linda. Under water services, I don't know if this is possible, but I'm wondering if there's some way that we can get more information for the board as well as for the community about exactly what it is that 2020 means as far as this water services and our riparian rights.
Hi, Cindy.
What are we doing, and what are we supposed to be doing, and what is the state of California doing? That's my question. If there's some way we can put that in there or as an understanding of what we're working on as far as water is concerned.
This is Les Clark. To follow up on your comment, Director Butler, I believe that information may be available and could be explained to you by staff in further detail.
I'm not the only one to know about it, Les.
Okay. No, I understand. Or anyone who raises the question wants the question answered. Is it a goal or is it just information sharing?
I thought it was a law.
Yes, it is a goal. It's a goal for the community and the directors to understand as much as possible of what we are doing and what they are expecting us to do.
So this is Director Mabee. Linda, would we be able to take 2020 Water Conservation Plan update and put it underneath item number 5 as well, and then under item number 5, which is enhanced communication, education, outreach, the district can then put together the educational components tailored to the general public. Example, if it impacts the country club, the technical level for the board,
right.
If we put it under that as well, would that meet what you need, not necessarily tying it to water itself, but more of a communication issue?
That's a great idea. Thank you. I totally like that.
Because I see staff at multiple levels doing outreach, community education, depending on the sophistication of who the customer is. So that's my thought, to move it under the enhanced communication, or I mean community outreach education. Thank you.
I like it. I think that's great. Thank you.
Okay, and this is Les Clark. I had a couple of comments under item number four or goal number four. There were actually a couple of bullet points that were carried over from the previous year's goals that might not be germane right now. So, given the recommendation, given the recommendations and the discussion, is there any rush in accepting these goals? Given the recommendation to align these with some of the additional goals that were discussed earlier on in executive session, and then the modifications that were discussed right now, maybe what we ought to do is come back again for the adoption of the final goals. Mark, is that an appropriate approach?
Unmuted.
That'll work.
Yeah, I don't see there being a rush right now. This is Tom. I don't see there being a rush.
Mark, very good. Okay, so I believe the direction of board is then to make sure that we submit this information to Mark so that he can make final modifications to the goals and bring it back to the next board meeting for approval. Is that appropriate?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Then moving on, that doesn't require a vote because it's just a direction. Moving on then to item A16, letter from Kelsey Weber. Mr. Shanahan, do you have a comment on that, or Mark?
Mark, you want me to handle it?
Yes, please.
Yeah, this relates to the matter we discussed in closed session. Ms. Bradbury, through her attorney, has filed a claim with the board. Staff has reviewed the claim. We recommend that the board reject the claim. If the board rejects the claim, we will then send a letter on your behalf to Ms. Bradbury's attorney. Any questions?
Okay. Hearing no questions, we would entertain a motion in response to Mr. Shanahan's request to reject the letter.
Unmuted.
And if I will make that motion to that the board reject the claim submitted. Is there a second or a discussion? Is there a second?
Mr. Director, maybe I'll second it.
Okay, is there any? Okay, is there any further discussion on this item? Then it is a roll call vote, I believe.
Director Clark?
Yes.
Yes.
Director Jaco?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Mabee?
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion carries. Okay. All right, moving on.
Muted.
Well, item A17, director comments. Looking around the table. Oh, no. Are there any
director comments? Les, this is Mark. If there's none, okay. No director comments.
Paul, go ahead.
I have one. Go ahead, somebody.
Well, Hold on. Let's let Mark staff comments first, then director comments. Okay.
Right. Just real briefly, I just wanted to confirm that as of today, we did close our offices, all of our lobbies, including gatehouses and the admin building, to the public. We are going to maintain a skeleton staff for the time being at our administration office. All of our utilities and security staff are essential services staff and remain on duty, practicing proper practices for spacing and sanitation. And the staff within the admin building, we're doing what we can to allow staff to be able to work from remotely.
And so we're implementing that and getting systems set up to allow for that. We're lucky that we've implemented cloud-based computing and portable systems, laptop systems for our staff already. So we're a long way there already to start having staff work remotely to the extent we can.
Thank you. Oh, and
that's it.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Now, there was another director that had a comment.
I was like,
yeah, this is John. I'm hoping that we can do something video wise for Jeff's presentation in the next board meeting, specifically because I looked through some of his statistics and they are questions. I'd really like to get into some of that. So I don't know what we need to do so we can all share in a PowerPoint, but maybe we can work on that a little bit so it's ready for next month.
John, this is Mark. We're looking into Zoom and other technologies already to see if we can do that by next month.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Yep. We're on it.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, any other comments? Linda, that was you. Any other comments?
That was me. Just a thank you.
Okay. And Mark, just a question. Go ahead, John.
Question, if I might. Just now, Mark and Tom, if we want to get, a hold of you, we just
unmuted.
Or what do we do?
Correct. All phone numbers are still active with our unified communications we implemented. We're able to receive calls to our extensions and to the main line, either at the office or remotely. So just continue business as usual as far as communication.
Okay, great.
Okay, and this is Les Clark, just again, Mark, going back to your comments relating to the special instructions
muted
for COVID-19, just a clarification that the public counters at both gates are also closed to the public.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, just and that information is on our website, and I believe as you develop additional items, directives, that they'll be also posted on the website.
Correct. We are posting on the website, on Facebook, and we'll also be putting quite a bit of information in the pipeline related to this matter.
Okay, great. And there was some discussion, I think, about from Tom about those that receive electronic bills, that they'll also include a copy of the pipeline when they receive that.
Unmuted.
You know, the electronic bill being submitted.
That is correct.
Okay, very good. Are there any other comments? Okay, hearing none, I will go on to item number A18 and entertain a motion for adjournment.
I second.
Okay, I believe we have a motion to and a second to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you very much. And for our first teleconference meeting, I think it went quite well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.